and Americans for the Arts.
Good afternoon, WMNF 88.5 FM. This is Midpoint News on Wednesdays, and thank you very much. That's the wonderful sound of Diamond Platinum's Marry You featuring Neo. For those wondering, it's Diamond Platinum's Marry You featuring Neo. Yeah, so I am back better than ever on this wonderful Wednesday afternoon. This is WMNF 88.5 FM, Midpoint News, with your host Nola, and that's Super Nola to some of them. And hopefully you've downloaded the free WMNF app so that way you can listen to us on the go. And remember, we have a tip jar there, so we always encourage people to contribute to the tip jar right there on WMNF.org, because you know fully well 70% of the operating costs right here at WMNF comes from you. So, yes, so we have a few things to talk about today. And a big shout out to Radioactivity for bringing us the right way. Yes, they talked a little bit about the president's immigration speech yesterday from the Oval Office, his first nationally televised speech from the Oval Office yesterday on immigration, and a Democratic response. So in a few minutes, I will be playing that. But before I do, the topic of the day is, and this took me a little bit to actually think about this, to ask people about this, and there's a reason why, and I want you to think about this for a second. So the question of the day is, can you separate the character of an individual from their work, their art, product, or service? Can you do that? And I want you to think about that from a big picture point of view, because this covers all realms, whether it's politics, entertainment, anything else you can think about. Can you really separate the character of an individual from their work, their art, audio product. So later on in the program, we'll be taking phone calls. Well, I want to know what people think about that and what that means for you in terms of how you actually look at things in life. And of course, I always encourage everybody to join the conversation. The phone number is 813-239-9663. The text number is 813-433-0885. You can send me an email during this broadcast to dj@wmnf.org. We have James Haynes in studio with us today. He's going to be answering the phone calls today, so it's going to be great. So yes, WMNF 88.5 FM, Midpoint News, and we start off. So yesterday, we know fully well the president addressed the nation. And for those who haven't heard that, I'm going to play you a few minutes of that speech. We're going to play a few minutes of the Democratic response, and we'll react to that. So here's a speech from President Trump.
Growing humanitarian and security crisis at our southern border. Every day, Customs and Border Patrol agents encounter thousands of illegal immigrants trying to enter our country. We are out of space to hold them, and we have no way to promptly return them back home to their country. America proudly welcomes millions of lawful immigrants who enrich our society and contribute to our nation. But all Americans are hurt by uncontrolled illegal migration. It strains public resources and drives down jobs and wages. Among those hardest hit are African Americans and Hispanic Americans. Our southern border is a pipeline for vast quantities of illegal drugs, including meth, heroin, cocaine, and fentanyl. Every week, 300 of our citizens are killed by heroin alone, 90% of which floods across from our southern border. More Americans will die from drugs this year than were killed in the entire Vietnam War. In the last 2 years, ICE officers made 266,000 arrests of aliens with criminal records, including those charged or convicted of 100,000 assaults, 30,000 sex crimes, and 4,000 violent killings. Over the years, thousands of Americans have been brutally killed by those who illegally entered our country, and thousands more lives will be lost if we don't act right now. This is a humanitarian crisis, a crisis of the heart, and a crisis of the soul. Last month, 20,000 migrant children were illegally brought into the United States, a dramatic increase. These children are used as human pawns by vicious coyotes and ruthless gangs. One in three women are sexually assaulted on the dangerous trek up through Mexico. Women and children are the biggest victims by far of our broken system. This is the tragic reality of illegal immigration on our southern border. This is the cycle of human suffering that I am determined to end. My administration has presented Congress with a detailed proposal to secure the border and stop the criminal gangs, drug smugglers, and human traffickers. It's a tremendous problem. Our proposal was developed by law enforcement professionals and border agents at the Department of Homeland Security. These are the resources they have requested to properly perform their mission and keep America safe. In fact, safer than ever before. The proposal from Homeland Security includes cutting-edge technology for detecting drugs, weapons, illegal contraband, and many other things. We have requested more agents, immigration judges, and bed space to process the sharp rise in unlawful migration fueled by our very strong economy. Our plan also contains an urgent request for humanitarian assistance and medical support. Furthermore, we have asked Congress to close border security loopholes so that illegal immigrant children can be safely and humanely returned back home. Finally, as part of an overall approach to border security, law enforcement professionals have requested $5.7 billion for a physical barrier. At the request of Democrats, it will be a steel barrier rather than a concrete wall. This barrier is absolutely critical to border security. It's also what our professionals at the border want and need. This is just common sense. The border wall would very quickly pay for itself. The cost of illegal drugs exceeds $500 billion a year, vastly more than the $5.7 billion we have requested from Congress. The wall will also be paid for indirectly by the great new trade deal we have made with Mexico. Senator Chuck Schumer, who you will be hearing from later tonight, has repeatedly supported a physical barrier in the past, along with many other Democrats. They changed their mind only after I was elected president. Democrats in Congress have refused to acknowledge the crisis, and they have refused to provide our brave border agents with the tools they desperately need to protect our families and our nation. The federal government remains shut down for one reason and one reason only, because Democrats will not fund border security. My administration is doing everything in our power to help those impacted by the situation.
Okay, so that's a little bit of a speech presented by President Trump yesterday. In a few seconds, I'm going to play the rebuttal from the Democratic leadership, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. Take a listen.
I appreciate the opportunity to speak directly to the American people tonight about how we can end this shutdown and meet the needs of the American people. Sadly, much of what we heard from President Trump throughout this senseless shutdown has been full of misinformation and even malice. The president has chosen fear. We want to start with the facts. The fact is, on the very first day of this Congress, House Democrats passed Senate Republican legislation to reopen government and fund smart, effective border security solutions. But the president is rejecting these bipartisan bills which would reopen government over his obsession with forcing American taxpayers to waste billions of dollars on an expensive and ineffective wall, a wall he always promised Mexico would pay for. The fact is, President Trump has chosen to hold hostage critical services for the health, safety, and well-being of the American people and withhold the paychecks of 800,000 innocent workers across the nation, many of them veterans. He promised to keep government shut down for months or years, no matter whom it hurts. That's just plain wrong. The fact is, we all agree we need to secure our borders while honoring our values. We can build the infrastructure and roads at our ports of entry. We can install new technology to scan cars and trucks for drugs coming into our nation. We can hire the personnel we need to facilitate trade and immigration at the border. We can fund more innovation to detect unauthorized crossings. The fact is, the women and children at the border are not a security threat. They are a humanitarian challenge, a challenge that President Trump's own cruel and counterproductive policies have only deepened. And the fact is, President Trump must stop holding the American people hostage, must stop manufacturing a crisis, and must reopen the government. Thank you. Leader Schumer.
Thank you, Speaker Pelosi. My fellow Americans, we address you tonight for one reason only. The President of the United States, having failed to get Mexico to pay for his ineffective, unnecessary border wall, and unable to convince the Congress or the American people to foot the bill, has shut down the government. American democracy doesn't work that way. We don't govern by temper tantrum. No president should pound the table and demand he gets his way, or else the government shuts down, hurting millions of Americans who are treated as leverage. Tonight, and throughout this debate and throughout his presidency, President Trump has appealed to fear, not facts, division, not unity. Make no mistake, Democrats and the president both want stronger border security. However, we sharply disagree with the president about the most effective way to do it. So, how do we untangle this mess? Well, there's an obvious solution. Separate the shutdown from arguments over border security. There is bipartisan legislation supported by Democrats and Republicans to reopen government while allowing debate over border security to continue. There is no excuse for hurting millions of Americans over a policy difference. Federal workers are about to miss a paycheck. Some families can't get a mortgage to buy a new home. Farmers and small businesses won't get loans they desperately need. Most presidents have used Oval Office addresses for noble purposes. This president just used the backdrop of the Oval Office to manufacture a crisis, stoke fear, and divert attention from the turmoil in his administration. My fellow Americans, there is no challenge so great that our nation cannot rise to meet it. We can reopen the government and continue to work through disagreements over policy. We can secure our border without an ineffective, expensive wall. And we can welcome legal immigrants and refugees without compromising safety and security. The symbol of America should be the Statue of Liberty, not a 30-foot wall. So our suggestion is a simple one. Mr. President, reopen the government and we can work to resolve our differences over border security. But end this shutdown now. Thank you.
So that was both responses, the immigration speech by President Trump and the response from the Democratic leadership. Curious to know what your thoughts about that. Join the conversation 813-239-9663. Send a text to 813-433-0885. Or send me an email during the broadcast to dj@wmnf.org. I'm currently around broadcasting on Facebook Live right now, so you could reach me right now through Facebook Live's Midpoint on Wednesdays on Facebook or at NoloWMNF. A big shout out to Nerman. I can see you, Nerman. Thank you right there. We'll be right back in 30 seconds, and I'll go through some of the rebuttals out there, fact check some of the things that he said point by point. So we'll be right back in 30 seconds.
WMNF's Alt Country Hoedown at Skipper's. Four headliners. Dale Watson and his Lone Stars.
Hey, driver, drive her down the road to your destination. Drop off that load.
Doors at 6 p.m.
If I was a trucking man, and my radio screaming on the AM band.
Saturday, January 26th, the Alt Country Hoedown at Skipper's Smokehouse. More info at WMNF.org.
WMNF 88.5 FM, this is Midpoint News on Wednesdays. We just played a couple of speeches from the president's immigration speech from the Oval Office yesterday, and I played the Democratic response from the Democratic leadership, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. And so yesterday, the president said a whole bunch of things yesterday, and there are a bunch of fact checkers out there. I'm going to be posting some on our Facebook page, but I'll go through a few of them. This is according to, I pick one from Politico. And I'll read a couple of them. So the question is there really a growing crisis? When the president talked about speaking to you because there's a growing humanitarian and security crisis, yes, there is a humanitarian crisis, which he actually caused by his administration by separating families at the southern border. But according to Politico, they say the notion that the number of illegal border crosses represent a crisis is not true. The number of people caught crossing at the border, the standard metric for determining the volume of illegal crossings generally, remains below that of annual level under President Barack Obama and far below the high levels of the 1990s and early 2000s. So he lied pretty much when he talked about a pipeline for drugs. Our southern border, and I quote, is a pipeline for vast quantities of illegal drugs, including meth, heroin, cocaine, and fentanyl. Well, that's misleading. According to Politico, most fentanyl comes from China. Although most heroin enters the United States through the border with Mexico, most of that is intercepted at the legal ports of entry, according to a 2018 report by the DEA. So a small percentage of all heroin seized by CPB along the line border was between ports of entry, the report reads. So you could check that out for yourself. When he talked about thousands killed, over the years, thousands of Americans have been brutally killed by those who illegally entered our country. That distorts the truth, according to Politico. Several studies show that immigrants are less likely to commit crimes than native-born Americans. And I think we can see that every single day. to me, I'm still shocked at how nobody mentions how the mass shooting that happened in Las Vegas a couple of years ago. It just seems like a blip. Just seems like a blip. That was at the country music concert with a whole bunch of people. But anyway, so let's keep going with that. That is towards the truth. When he talked about the Democrats' request deal, when he talked about as part of an overall approach to border security, law enforcement professionals have requested $5.7 billion for a physical barrier. You notice that the terms have started to change. Not a wall anymore. Mexico is not paying for it. It's a physical barrier, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, will Mexico pay? The wall will also be paid for indirectly, and I quote, by the great new deal we made with Mexico. That's what the president said. That's not true, according to Politico. Trump vowed during his presidential campaign, as we all know, that Mexico will pay for the construction of a wall on the U.S.-Mexico border. But Mexico has refused to pay. The president now insists that Mexico will pay for the project through a renegotiated NAFTA agreement known as the USMCA. The deal still needs congressional approval and isn't yet in effect. But even if it were in effect, any economic gains from the deal will go to private individuals and companies, not the U.S. Treasury. Yes. So even if there was any economic gains from the newly signed renegotiated NAFTA, otherwise known as USMCA. Think about that for a second. Any economic gains from the deal will go to the private individuals and companies, not the U.S. Treasury. So, I mean, the backdrop of the fact that he's in the Oval Office and just continues to lie. I mean, this is just a new low. Normally, like, I know fully well in my lifetime, when politicians actually want to lie about stuff, you know, they actually, they have been subtle about it. But quick, your reaction to that. And the question of the day is, and I'm going to tie this in a very, very, very clever way. Also, I want to know, can you separate the character of an individual from their work, art, or product, or service? Can you separate that? So, curious to know what your thoughts are. Join the conversation, 813-239-9663. Or you send me a text at 813-433-0885. Or send me an email during the broadcast to dj@wmnf.org. So, let's go to Jeff from Lakeland. Hey, Jeff. Good afternoon, Jeff. Welcome to the show, Jeff. Your thoughts.
So, how you doing? So, basically, I want to talk about like how they demonized, you know, the immigrants and how productive they actually are to society. I mean, I have a girl that lives in Texas, and she told me if it wasn't for them, they would have never recovered from the last hurricane. And then my mom's side of the family got relatives in Alabama, and they ran them out of there, and now they're begging them to come back. They've got crops dying on the vine and everything else, and they tried to run them all off. And the other thing I want to talk about is, if somebody mentioned on TV last night, you could take a $200 boat and you could go to the left or the right and go around a $5 billion wall. And it just doesn't make any sense, you know. And they're staying here on expired visas, and they, you know, are you going to put a wall around every airport? You know, I just don't understand what they're thinking. You know?
I think a lot of people do understand what they're thinking, because this has to do with the demographic of the people that actually trying to come to the country than anything else. Because we're not talking about a northern border wall. We're not talking about that. And we know that a whole lot of Canadians actually overstay their visas. And a whole bunch of people that actually come through the airports that actually overstay their visas. So practically, we know fully well, according to the data, and the data is out there. He's the commanding chief. He can get the data if he wants to. But he's not looking at it through the prism of facts. He's just looking at it at the same time like, okay, those people. If you have it in your head that those people do not deserve anything, I mean, that comes from the character of the man himself. So I agree with you. Thanks a lot, Jeff. Thanks a lot for holding for a little bit. Thanks a lot, Jeff. Jeff from Lakeland.
Right.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Yes, join the conversation, 813-239-9663. We reacted to the president's speech yesterday. What are your thoughts about it? Do you agree? Do you disagree? Are you indifferent about it? Do you see some points that you agree with? We would like to know. And also, the question for today, can you separate the character of an individual from their work, art, product, or service? Can you do that? Ready to do something good or something that. And the reason why I brought that up is a lot of times people are questioning why, depending on what political affiliation you're with, let's say, for instance, like the president of the United States, what do Trump supporters still see in this man, for instance? But then about a week ago, there was this documentary that came out, and it was talking about the artist R. Kelly, for those who know who that is. R&B R. Kelly, pretty good singer, and past two decades, pretty much. And it seems like he's been accused of, like, statutory rape, you know, having sex with underage girls, and physical abuse, mental abuse of women and stuff. So he's been accused of stuff like that. But it just seems like for a whole bunch of people, that hasn't stopped them from actually listening to his music. Now, there's a three-part series documentary that aired, I think, last week. And it seemed like right on Lifetime, even asked that, as he was getting exposed, his music streams were increasing. So he was making more money. And it begs the question, people like R. Kelly, people like people who have been in the forefront of our ethos for a long time. When you think about Donald Trump's been a reality star pretty much for about a decade. And there are a whole bunch of people that pretty much grew up on him. We have this idea that he's a boss. He's a guy that fires people. He's a guy that actually knows what he's saying. And when you think about that, after all, he's the man that said this.
Nobody knows this stuff better than me.
Nobody knows more about taxes than I do, and income than I do.
Nobody knows more about construction than I do.
Nobody knows more about campaign finance than I do.
I know more about drones than anybody.
Nobody knows much more about technology, this type of technology, certainly, than I do.
Nobody knows more about technology than me.
Nobody's in the history of this country has ever known so much about infrastructure as Donald Trump.
I know the H-1B. I know the H-2B. Nobody knows it better than me.
I know more about ISIS than the generals do, believe me.
I understand things. I comprehend very well, okay? Better than, I think, almost anybody.
And by the way, who knew the other side of the picture better than me? I knew it.
Nobody knows more about environmental impact statements than me.
I understand the power of Facebook. Maybe better than almost anybody.
I know more about renewables than any human being on Earth.
Nobody knows more about polls than me.
I know more about courts than any human being on Earth.
I know more about steel workers than anybody that's ever run for office.
I know more about golf than Obama knows.
Nobody knows more about banks than I do.
Nobody knows more about trade than me.
Well, obviously, he doesn't know about nuclear weapons. I know more about nuclear weapons than he'll ever know.
I understand the tax laws better than almost anyone.
Who knows more about lawsuits than I do? I'm the king.
I know more about offense and defense than they will ever understand.
And nobody even understands it but me. It's called devaluation.
I understand money better than anybody.
I understand the system better than anybody.
Nobody knows more about debt than I do.
Nobody knows the game better than me.
I know more about contributions than anybody.
And who knows more about the word apprentice than Donald Trump?
I understand politicians better than anybody.
Nobody knows politicians better than me.
Who knows the other side better than me?
Who knows the other side better than me?
I think I know more about the other side than almost anybody.
And I understand the other side. Perhaps I understand it better than anybody else.
I was the fair-haired boy. Nobody knows more about it than me.
I know more than these politicians. These guys don't know anything.
I know a lot. I know more than I'm ever going to tell you.
Well, that was the President of the United States, a constant reminder that he knows more about everything more than anybody else. But yeah, your thoughts about everything we're talking about today, WMNF 88.5 FM, Midpoint News, and Wednesday's your host, Nola. Join the conversation, 813-239-9663. You send me a text at 813-433-0885, and send me an email during the broadcast to dj@wmnf.org. Also broadcasting live on Facebook right now, so that's Midpoint News on Facebook, or at Nola WMNF. Let's get back on the phone lines right now. Let's go to Hugh from Dover, I think. Hey, Hugh, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Nolan.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. Nolan, this morning when I got in the car, I was listening to another radio station, and there was somebody interviewing somebody from Army Intelligence, okay. And he talked about, I'm sorry, did you hear it also?
No, I'm listening to you. No, I didn't.
Oh, well, and he recently wrote a book, I'm sorry, I don't know his name, but he talked about that we're currently bombing, I think he said 6 or possibly 9 other countries. I know he mentioned Somalia, Afghanistan, Pakistan, I think Yemen, but he also mentioned 2 countries in South America. He mentioned Guatemala, and he mentioned Colombia. I had no idea that we were actively bombing, South America. But what do you think about that?
Well, I think war in general, how I feel about war in general, I am not a proponent of war in general. And I know fully well, I think I saw a report fully well that that the United States is actually actively lobbying to actually establish a base in Brazil with the new Brazilian president coming in. So, yeah, I'm going to have to look into that, but I'm not fully sure about what's going on. But I know I read a report, and there's a reason why you might want a base in Brazil in that region. So actually, go ahead.
I was just going to say he did refer to Donald Trump as being a buffoon. So, you know, a lot of the things that you just.
Oh, the incoming president of Brazil?
No, he talked about Donald Trump being a buffoon.
Oh, okay.
And just his mannerism. I think, you know, that he still respects the office of the presidency because, you know, he wasn't overly critical, but. You know, he did mention that it's difficult for people to rally around somebody like Donald Trump because of the way he presents himself.
And who are you speaking about? Who said that?
I wish I could remember it.
Oh, okay. The person on the interview. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha. Okay.
I listened to 970 on the AM channel, okay. Which is a lot of Glenn Beck. So it's, you know, it's a lot of people that support.
Well, I'm a little biased. I would prefer you listen to us, you know, but, well, but you're forgiven. Okay, how about that?
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah,
Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll take a look in that, and I'll post it on our Facebook page. You know, hopefully we have some results for you. And anybody who knows about what he's talking about, please feel free to call in 813-239-9663. Thank you very much. That's Hugh. Let's get back on the phone lines, right? Let's go to Alejandro. Alejandro from Gibsonton. Hey, Alejandro. Good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. The gentleman that Hugh is referring to was being interviewed. He had just submitted. He was a journalist for NBC.
Mm-hmm.
And he just submitted his resignation, and he pinned a letter to the NBC about how the news agencies, all news agencies, are constantly following the Trump circus, is what he called it. You know,
I mean, to a certain extent, because I remember in 2014 when President Obama was trying to give an immigration speech and the networks actually denied that. And there is some form of fear factor. I don't know if it's a fear factor or a camaraderie behind the scenes that's actually going on where everybody, succumbed to the fact that he wanted to give pretty much a rally speech. That's pretty much what he gave yesterday, a rally speech. And the fact that even right after that, he was actually sending an email to his supporters out there to actually raise money. So yeah, there is something to say about that, you know, so, but go ahead.
Well, that's, I was just going to let him know, but he never said that they were actively bombing Colombia or Guatemala, but that we were currently engaged, you know, with intelligence support and stuff like that. But what I wanted to bring up about the issue of last night with his speech was the idea that, everything else we've already heard, and we've all repeated it, and I mean, we all, you know, it's all in the news cycle.
Right.
But the newest one that really got me was when when Trump said that the ones that are being hurt the most by the illegal immigration were blacks and Hispanics.
Yeah.
And if we... You look back at all of his rallies, you might find one or few here, a handful maybe, you know, if you count them on one hand, of blacks or Hispanics. But look at all the other ones that are out there yelling and screaming about wanting a wall, the ones that are afraid of the so-called invasion of illegal immigrants coming over here to the United States, man. I mean, that really got me right there. I got the feeling when he said that, I looked over to my wife. I'm like, really?
You're bringing up an excellent point because there is a debate inside the debate in the fact that normally when you see nothing is as it seems, right? You know, in general terms, and a lot of times you see okay, so who was he really talking to? Because you feel like okay, when we talk about immigration and the wall, he didn't really use the wall. He wasn't as bombastic as he normally is at the rallies, but at the same time it was kind of like a rally message. But when he was trying to, it seemed like he was trying to address people of the opposite electorate in some ways, because the bullet points, just like you highlighted, when the fact that we talked about blacks and Hispanics, then he started talking about women and children, everyone's who are hurt. Women and children are the ones who are hurt crossing the border. When did you give a damn about Mexicans or South Americans crossing the border? You know,
exactly.
You pretty much demean them every chance that you got, you know, and if, yeah, you, sep- Yeah, go ahead.
Well, no, just that one thing, man. I'm from California. My mother's from Tijuana, but she's a Yaqui Indian, which basically, you know, it depends on where you were standing when the border was drawn, made you a Native American or made you a Mexican. You know, so I'm half Yaqui Indian, half Mexican. You know, I'm Native American. I speak fluent Spanish and all that. But I look to a lot. I have a lot of black friends. I mean, I say that because we always have the discussions here at the job site. We try to keep it from everybody else hearing
right.
our conversations. You know, and they get the understanding that, hey, look, man, you know, what is done to a black person is the same rights that brown people are fighting for. You know, because we're all in the same boat together, man. When you're not, my wife's white. Now, kind of find it. You know, I always say a lot of other things, man, that she has to hear me say. But I, you know, I try to let her know, you know, the situations on how it is between blacks and colored. I mean, whites and colored, be it brown, black, yellow, or Middle Eastern. You know, it's just.
Well, I do appreciate you, Alejandro. You brought up some good points out there. Yes, thank you very much from Gibson.
Thank you.
Thank you. You too. Oh, thank you so much. Yes, so it's got a note right here. Rob talked about what the guy, Hugh, the caller, was talking about. The guy, U.S. was involved militarily in at least 8 countries. And if you was confused, the journalist is William Arkin. And that was on Democracy Now! This morning, Hugh. He talked about that's WMNF. So, yes, that is our station. So, stay close. So I got an email, interesting email from Adam, which is Adam. Adam is a frequent contributor out here on WMNF. He goes, I'm disappointed in WMNF choosing to air Trump's speech multiple times today. If I wanted to listen to him lie, then I would have watched it last night. It does nothing but helping push propaganda to those who don't understand that he's making things up. The mainstream media failed again by giving him a free campaign ad from the Oval Office. I think that's a catch-22 when it comes to that. And a lot of times we do have, and this is part of this stuff, right? A couple of days ago, he talked about how he mentioned some things that I think from the grounds of the White House and to the media. And he said, oh, yeah, you know what? If you read the papers, and I'm paraphrasing, if you read the papers, you know, you'll find out we have a crisis at the southern border. And I remember tweeting about this, like, you know what? But the president of the United States, I remember tweeting about this a couple of days ago. The president of the United States stands on the grounds of the White House talking about, if you read the papers, you know we have a crisis at the southern border. But the papers are reporting that the president is reporting that we have a crisis at the southern border. So, like, it's one of those adjustments, and it's been 2 years now, on how to report this man. Because fully well, he's going to dish out the propaganda, and when you report it, he's going to say, oh, yeah, it's in the papers that you reported it. But at the same time, I think the job that we have to do, in which what I did today in a few minutes, it's actually to fact check and say, you know what, he said this, but at the same time, this is the truth. And we can't censor it, because we'll be no better or no lesser than the other channels that actually spread propaganda in other countries, or even in this country as they may. So yeah, it's a tough one, but at the same time, I don't think you censor what he says, so far as you actually tell people, you know what, he's actually lying. Not just tell, just falsifying records, actually lying, you say it as it is. But yeah, your thoughts about that, 813-239-9663, join the conversation, or you send me a text at 813-433-0885. Let's go to John from Tampa. Hey, John. Good afternoon, John. Welcome to the show.
Hey, man.
What's up?
Well, you know, I just don't think the Democrats get it. I mean, I'm a progressive person,
okay,
and all that, but they're just, and it goes to the heart of your question too. How could this be happening? I think it's what you're asking. Well, you know, Trump has his finger on the pulse of the average working person. They're not educated. They're not political. They don't listen to this station. They listen to the AM stations and all the bombastic nonsense. To them, the equation is this. Ooh, people are coming. Ooh, build a wall. So when they come, they'll hit their head on the wall. Okay? Mm-hmm. To the average person who's getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and working till 8 o'clock at night, they're in debt up to their eyebrows. I mean, to them, this makes sense. They're not, you know,
digging deep into the immigration issue like you and I would. I mean, it's very complicated.
So you're saying it's a no-win situation, even if the facts don't support that?
Oh, the facts don't matter at all.
Hmm.
No, you see, I think, and in my opinion anyway, the Republicans have defunded our school systems, our arts, our sports, our gymnastics. I mean, any kind of intellectual, like any kind of intellectual thought has been stopped in our schools. So people don't, you know, they don't understand journalism. They don't understand. So it's coming full circle now. You know, make the population ignorant, and then cash in. Mm. And that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing.
Interesting.
So I really do think it's hopeless. And in the meantime, the Democrats, unfortunately, are talking about transgendered bathrooms. And the average guy or the average lady who's working their butt off, they may care a little bit about transgender.
I mean, but they're doing more than talking about bathrooms. I think we're talking about healthcare. You know, healthcare was number one issue. So,
well,
I mean,
healthcare is great. If
right.
You have a good job, you have good healthcare. If you don't,
we're talking about access to healthcare for most Americans. You don't think that's important? That was the number one issue in the midterm election. So,
I know it's a disaster. But the average, but look what happened. They voted in a guy who could care less about
which,
their healthcare.
Which is part of what I was actually like the second part of the question, in which like is this normal for us to do when you separate the character of an individual from their work, art, product, or service? Because it seems like in other fields we are doing it, and we're puzzled and we're confused why Trump supporters for some reason like won't budge. You know, won't budge, even though I don't believe you need them to budge to actually get the right people elected in the office. But
see, they finally got their man. They finally got a guy in there, a clown, who's going to see. The more bombastic and irrational that Trump becomes, the more they love him.
Seems like it. But
and I also believe that a wall is partial, very small part of the problem. The real problem is we have to sit down and hammer out a policy, which we have not done for 30 years. I mean, this has been going on, you know, since I started paying attention, you know, 30, 40 years
well,
ago.
Well, I appreciate you, John. You made some excellent points. Thanks a lot. That's John from Tampa. Let's get some more phone calls here. Let's get Juan from St. Pete. Hey, Juan. What's up, man? Good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm on my way to the VA hospital to get attention. But one of the things that I wanted to ask was, Trump already received money for the wall and hasn't used all that money up. Why is he asking for more money when he hasn't exhausted the resources that he's already had proven for it?
Well, overall, like I know fully well, overall the budget for the entire wall is going to be $25 billion. But that lies in the question. Like a lot of times, you feel like the way he's really fighting for this is promises. He's trying to keep promises for somebody, you know, that he promised to get a contract from the government. It just seems like it to me. You know, like you would shut down an entire government just because you don't, not even the full payment. Hello? Are you still there? I think I lost you. Not even the field payment, but it seems like it. Let's get on the phone line, sir. Let's go to Joe. Joe from Largo. Hey, Joe. Good afternoon, Joe. Welcome to the show.
Is that for me?
Yes, that's for you,
oh,
Largo.
Hey, thanks, Nova.
What's up?
If you please, maybe I've missed it because mm-hmm. I'm old. But here's the thing. So for the last 2 years since we've had president, it's always been a matter of we have a crisis mm-hmm. on the border. And there's probably other verbs that are part of that whole talk. But here's the thing. I have not seen anything. Let's just say like a Dan, of course he's gone, and I don't know who the hot stars are in news anymore. But, you know, the Walter Cronkites, the Dan Rathers, et cetera.
Right.
I haven't seen anybody down on the border from coast to coast on the border making films and doing interviews and just looking at. So my question is, what are we talking about in terms of a crisis? What is the crisis that requires armed military along the border. I'm not talking about Border Patrol guys. That's their job.
Right.
But crisis to me means, you know, like Syria. Crisis.
Yeah, I mean, that's an excellent question. There is none, because when the president uses words like invasion right before an election and sends out the military to the southern border, creates, manufactures a crisis. I mean, has a zero tolerance policy on the southern border, creating a crisis where you actually separate families and you have people, children dying in ICE custody. It's because of your policies, and you don't address that. Yes.
Taking those children away like that.
Yeah.
Really and truly, at the end of the day, I hope the man burns in hell for what he's done. All right? Yeah.
And the fact that people ignore that. So, yeah, they're manufactured. I mean, they're manufacturing crisis, and which is very scary, because a lot of times, and you have a whole bunch of conspiracy theorists out there, and we know fully well, and I happen to think, and this is just me thinking, a lot of it has to do with a whole bunch of investigations actually happening and put a halt and start to slow down what that is and take the issue of the news of the day. Because yesterday, we know fully well, the news broke on the fact that, you know, Paul Manafort, the former campaign manager, was actively giving polling data to a Russian operative. Now, why would a former campaign manager be giving polling data to an ongoing election to the Russians?
And
that was news that broke yesterday. So it's a lot to unpack there fully well. And if the man in the Oval Office right now is capable of manufacturing a crisis for his personal gain, that is scary in itself.
Thank you. And I would like to just say one more thing. Because you said the magic words, personal gain.
Right.
I would love to know just how much that our president is doing for the security of the country is putting dollars in his pocket, in the pockets of his family and friends.
Right.
And that's all I'm going to say.
Good question.
For your show, my man.
Thanks a lot, Joe. And the sad thing about it is, you would think you want people, a lot more people in Congress, a lot more people in the Senate, and a lot more people going after that exact question. But you know what? The crazy thing is, Washington is corrupt anyway, because a lot of times that's how people actually get backdoor deals. And a lot of them fully understand that that's how business is done. So you could tell that he has a personal interest. I just feel it, that he has a personal interest in the fact that he needs the money for that wall. It has nothing to do with immigration and immigration data, because the data supports the fact that, you know what, it's not a crisis. But he's manufacturing a crisis, then he wants that money. But why? But let's get back to the phone lines, Roka. Let's go to Gulchen from Tampa. Hey, Gulchen, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you?
How you pronounce your name? Let me make sure I got it right.
Gulchen.
There we go. Thank you.
Hey, Nola.
How may I help you?
Well, I remember a couple of weeks ago you were talking about Nancy Pelosi and some other representative of our country were speaking, and you were saying they were saying something about the not closing the government or shutting down and whatnot, right?
Right. I think it was structure, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I'm going to reiterate, there is no crisis in this country. Only crisis, in my opinion, is the government like this is not even looking after its own citizens, okay? We have people who are hungry, homeless. There is no job, right? None.
Yeah,
and then healthcare crisis, and then you have a New York City turns around and says, "I'm going to give universal healthcare to anyone and anybody who actually want to move into New York City, which is the most expensive city in town, right?" And then here we are; we have Florida State, a low waging state, and then you have Texas is high and low, and you have migrants coming in; they're crying about migrants coming. Are you kidding me? Why are this ignorances still exist? I mean, there's no newspaper report. There's no newsman reporting anything. Everybody reverberates in the same soundtracks, including my beloved station, which is you guys are in. And it's the same thing. Same thing. We talk and talk and talk, and nobody's calling the congressman to say, hey, you know, we need to do something. Look at our infrastructure. I just had a flat tire yesterday, and then 2 weeks ago, too. Who's fixing my road? Who's responsible for that?
Good questions. Thanks a lot, Gulchen. I do appreciate you. Hopefully, we'll continue to bring the information out there that you're passionate about. And so we energize the electorate. Let's get our phone lines real quick. Let's go to Fran from Largo. Hey, Fran. Good afternoon, Fran. Welcome to the show, Fran.
Hi, Nola.
Hey.
Yes, a lot of different people have been bringing up different thoughts about things, and it all comes down to we're at the mercy of these capitalists that are
mercy of the capitalists.
Country.
There we go.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The bankers, Wall Street, and the politicians that they have bought. And meantime, the little people, like one man said, they listen to the AM radio, and they get up at 5 o'clock, and they don't get off work until 8 o'clock. We're so busy chasing after money, and
right. It
buys less and less and less, and it's just like a sick game they're playing on us. We're like hamsters running around in a wheel, and it just has to stop. The capitalists run the show. They don't give a damn about us, and someone like Donald Trump has these distractions, and like you were saying, where is this billions for the wall really going to go?
Right.
It's all, you know, deals with Russia and things like that. We have got to get out of this bad cycle. It's not democracy. Capitalism and democracy are not the same thing. And we're just, we're going to collapse like the old Roman Empire pretty soon if they keep this up. That's
good point. Good point, friend.
Basically, what I wanted to say, but a lot of people that have been calling in today, they have the right idea, and I wish the heck a lot of other people could get that idea. The population.
That's really one of the reasons why we constantly want to talk about it, because we know fully well we live in a microwave society where people are just so caught up in their lives right now that they might forget, especially when it comes to time to vote. You know, we know fully well what the issue of the day is. Probably not going to be what we're talking about right now in 2020. They're going to find a way to make sure the issue of the day is something tribal, which we disagree about. But thanks a lot, friend.
Yep.
Appreciate
okay.
you. Let's go to Danny real quick. Hey, Danny, what's up?
Hey, Nola, just more and more lies by the man. And, you know, he said Mexico was going to pay for the wall. He backed himself into a corner. Nobody wants the wall. The majority of people don't want the wall. Mexico's not paying for it. He's going to, like, boy, let me tell you, Steve Schmidt. I don't know if you've been watching him from MSNBC.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
He rips him a new one every time he can. Calls him a loser, a liar, a con. And let me tell you something. This one caller said that may he burn in hell. You know, I've got a feeling that when his time is up and the devil comes up to him and the devil tells him, you know everything, right? You know that you were going to hell, right? Yeah, well, I did know that, but I mean, I thought maybe I could bargain with you. But you know everything.
I appreciate you, Danny. I'm running out of time right now. Okay. We get a couple of calls, but I do appreciate you. Thanks a lot, Danny. Let's go to real quick, Juan. Juan, I think you.
Yeah, I was on before. And
yeah. Real quick. Give me about 30 seconds, okay?
I'm Puerto Rican, and I remember when Donald Trump said that he wanted to deport all of the Puerto Ricans. The Puerto Ricans were nothing more than Mexicans who know how to speak New York. Yeah, I mean, this thing that we worry about, a Hispanic population here or the Latino population in the United States are worried about immigrants coming over. There's no worry about it. These are people that are foreigners just like anyone else that came to this country.
Well, that leads to the character of the person. You know, well, what he sees when he actually looks at, let's say, a Mexican or South American is different from what he sees when he sees an Irish person come into here trying to make a better life out of them. Because he feels like, you know what? I mean, that comes with the character of the man. So, I mean, I think that's non-debatable right now at this point.
The other thing that I wanted to say is, if we're building a wall on the southern border, why can't we build one on the northern board where all of...
Because they're Canadians, and he doesn't see the Canadians. He sees Canadians more look like him. So even though there's a whole bunch, there's a big mixture of people out there in Canada, but I don't think that's what he sees when he sees Canadians. So, yeah. I appreciate you, Juan. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you. All right, a quick email real quick. I got a good email from Anonymous, and she goes, this is a pretty question. Can you separate the character of a person from the for the work of the art? To be able to look at what people do and how it can show their character is a fine line of balance. Some characters are obvious, like Trump, but The law of averages is that you may be wrong. This is why some people believe him or support him. The power to deceive is like magic in a sense of illusion. The masters know this, and they are like an actor, or should I say a bad actor. Profiling in general with creatures always has a surprise effect in approximately half the time. So you may be right or you could be wrong. Being able to see the truth of character or what they do, as in a job, no. With balance and separation of character and their work, one must equally look at the history, forethought, and the present. Motives and actions equals the character in Dynamo Player. Thanks a lot. That's a good email. So, I mean, it's one of those things that, like, I really don't have the answer to that, but at the same time, it's a question out there. You know, what can you separate the character of an individual from their work, art, service, or whatever? But it's been a spirited day today. Thank you very much. We'll be back better than ever next week, Wednesday. Stay tuned. Executive session is coming up with John Gilmore and Adam. And feel free, and I will post some of those things on our Facebook page, Midpoint on Wednesdays on Facebook or at NOLAWMNF. So if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to reach out there. Be back next Wednesday, WMNF, Tampa.